You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the study was an experimental study, so where we had groups of young adults either take a break from social media for a week, so they're only allowed to use each platform for 10 minutes a day, and a control group who were just asked to use social media as normal. And so we assessed mental health before and after that break, and we also assessed sleep quality.
Yeah, so the result of the study was that the changes that did occur when people limited their social media usage were all pretty much related to sleep quality. Were you surprised by that result? What was the original expectation going in?
I was surprised. So I thought that, the research on social media and mental health is kind of mixed. Initially, people thought that there would be these kind of massive negative effects of social media, and it was kind of became the devil in terms of how parents view it. And so the original idea was basically just to test that experimentally. And so I was surprised that the negative impact was really modest, so it wasn't, very much. And then the sleep quality finding was surprising, and then we included lots of different measures that we might use to explain it. But it also just makes sense. So we know that most people sleep with their phones right beside their bed, and we know that people probably use their phones just before they go to bed. And so that kind of makes intuitive sense that, viewing social media or catching up on news just before you go to sleep is not very helpful for sleep.
Yeah, so generally there is a lot of concern about the impact social media usage can have on mental well-being. Having done the study, do you think that these sorts of concerns from parents particularly are validated, or is social media less impactful than we're led to believe?
Social media is definitely less impactful than we're led to believe. So in terms of social media having kind of this universal negative effect and a really kind of marked effect, I don't think there's much evidence for that. There are certain individuals with certain dispositions that would be more impacted than others. So if we think about something like female teenagers and something like Instagram, so it might not have a kind of universal negative effect on females, but if females have, say, body image issues or concerns about how they look, then you can see how Instagram might kind of interact with those kind of dispositions. So it's definitely not the idea that social media is massively negative. Certain individuals may be more impacted than others.
Yeah, so what interests me about the study is that you're very much focused on sleep quality. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the impacts of quality versus quantity of sleep in this sense. Will I have better sleep if I sleep for longer?
So not necessarily. Sleep quality is kind of the key. So, it's hard to know. Every person, needs different amounts of sleep. We know that adolescents tend to need more sleep than other age groups. And that's why sleep quality is, a better metric, because it's more about how refreshed you feel when you wake up and kind of your subjective experience of sleep, which is more informative. Some people might be fine with 6 hours and that might be normal for them, whereas others might need 10. And so sleep quality kind of gets it. Just how restful you find your sleep.
Yeah, so my understanding is that this study was performed over 1 week, is that correct?
Yep.
Do you think the well-being impacts of social media would be more notable over a longer period? I think people tend to assume that the mental health impacts occur over several years of exposure,
Yeah, there's other kind of larger scale studies that are more cross-sectional in the sense that they kind of use large surveys amongst young people. And again, there's not much evidence for, this clear relationship between social media use and mental health. And so I really think, that kind of makes sense. People use social media in lots of different ways. Some people use it purely in terms of communication. And also, the types of social media that people use probably matters. I would think that, again, it would come down to the long-term impacts would be individual. They would interact with kind of individual factors. So something like Twitter, if you're involved in political discussion, Twitter can probably be quite toxic. But if you're, less invested in that type of discussion, then Twitter might be fine.
Yeah. So the study also allowed for that group that was limiting social media usage. It allowed them to spend 10 minutes on social media per day. Why was this the case? It seems like quite a negligible concession to make.
Yeah, I think because people use social media as a communication tool, and we thought it was next to impossible to attract people to a study where they couldn't use it at all. And so we thought that the 10 minutes a day might allow them to kind of view maybe messages that are from their parents or something that's urgent or something that they just want to check in, I guess, to stop the anxiety that there might be messages building up that they're not aware of.
Right, okay. So overall, do you think you've reached a conclusion as to what sort of social media behaviour we should adopt to increase our well-being? Or
yeah, I mean, I think that the sleep is the key. So when we think about parents, typically, yeah, it's just the idea that social media is bad and therefore they have, I guess, a motivation to just stop their child using social media just because it's social media. And so I don't think that's very reasonable. It's probably quite hard to convince adolescents to give up social media purely because, you know, parents think that it's inherently bad. And so the focus could really be on sleep. So the idea that parents helping their teenagers develop good sleep hygiene practices, you know, disconnecting from social media a certain amount of time before bed, or not using social media while they're in bed, I think is probably a more kind of practical approach for parents to take.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.